You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. We're going to have some fun in a minute here with a little segment that we call After Further Review. But we also got to introduce, you know, we got people on the show who are helping us out in a lot of ways. And we have, on alternate days, we get great help from a couple of people. One who is in here with us right now is Carly McCord. The other is Megan Rock. And you heard from Megan a couple of weeks back. And we just want to introduce Carly because, Carly, you come to us from Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
And so far, how's your experience here been with the Browns as an intern?
I absolutely love working for the Cleveland Browns. It's been so much fun, especially with both of you, Nathan and Vic, and the best show on radio, Cleveland Browns Daily.
Too kind.
The weather has definitely been a shock to me coming from Louisiana, but I'm definitely getting used to it, and I'm just very happy to be here.
That was the big reason I brought it up, because you're wearing a coat. You're a little bundled up. It's a little chilly here for you, especially transitioning from the South.
Yes, sir. It's definitely been a transition.
If this was the bye week for you, would you be staying here and vacationing in Cleveland, or would you be going back to Louisiana?
I am going back to Louisiana tomorrow. I need to get Cajun food fix and my weather fix. So
that's great.
Louisiana bound tomorrow.
Little background. LSU. I mean, and I know you're obviously a football person. We try to make sure that that's at least a prerequisite for all aspects. And you help out in a lot of various ways. But the stuff you do with us. But tell us just a little bit about you and your football. Your sports knowledge and background.
Well, I got my first degree from Northwestern State University in liberal arts, and I decided that that wasn't for me, so mm-hmm. I decided to go back to school at LSU and get my second bachelor's in broadcast journalism with a concentration in sports broadcasting. And mm-hmm. I worked for LSU Athletics, and I did all of their sideline reporting and anchoring for Tiger TV. I also interned with NFLVR.com, which is a fantasy football website, and Nathan Zagura does put me to shame every day.
What are you talking about? You're undefeated this week.
Yeah, thanks to him, right?
No, she knows what she's doing.
I'm not as good as Nathan, but that is something that I did intern with, and I have a great love for football, fantasy football, mainly cool. the NFL, and yes, I'm a huge LSU Tiger fan, Cleveland Browns fan, and of course, New Orleans.
You followed Barkevious Mingo.
I did.
Career.
I used to interview Barkevious Mingo on the sidelines at LSU cool. all the time, and he's definitely a rare commodity, and I'm so happy he's here.
Outstanding. Well, we are very happy to have you aboard, and again, thank you so much. And a reminder, so the tweets you see from the show, Carly handles, and then she'll be doing the Browns Daily Wrap. It is a piece that will show up, a text that will show up on our website by this afternoon, a little later this afternoon.
And you guys should give her a follow, by the way, on Twitter. Yeah. I follow her. She's got good stuff. You know your football. That's what I love the most about it. At Carly, Carley. MCCORD. That's at CareleyMCCORD.
And I don't want to embarrass you, but you've been a pageant person too. You were
first loser. No, I competed.
You're not first, you're last.
Exactly. I was competed in Miss Louisiana 5 times. I was first runner up, and I say first loser twice, 2 years in a row. So I never won, but that's okay. I'm here, and I'm doing bigger and better things, and I'm so happy.
Still
to be
pretty
here.
Darn good.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We'll take
thank
that.
You.
All right, time to go to After Further Review.
All right, you guys all ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. I was waiting for you to play.
Oh, yes.
Come on, the sound.
Yeah, I didn't. Dude, I wasn't ready. I was getting. On. I know. Seriously.
I know. We had you all messed up here. We went a little out of order here, but we just wanted to let people get to know who's with us here
right.
in the studio.
You know, the woman who really runs the operation.
That's after
right.
further yes. review.
There you go. I mean, and Megan does too. Megan
well,
rocks.
Well, yeah.
She rocks.
Yeah.
So,
chairwoman. All right. Let's get going here on After Further Review. Let's start first with this. The Browns' most improved player is Buster Screen. Is that, gentlemen?
Fact or fiction?
Oh, I got to go with fact by a long shot. I think he has had a difference-making season. If he doesn't do what he's been doing, and a lot of hand-wringing over that other cornerback spot, this team would have some issues and problems. I think Buster Screen has had an amazing comeback as a player.
I'm going to not disagree, but offer up another player as well to put into the mix here. And I'm going to go with Tayshawn Gibson.
Good one.
The Cleveland Browns were worried about their safety position. This is an undrafted free agent who's come in and played a very solid safety, very good next to T.J. Ward, who's had an unbelievable all-pro type season. But that was a big concern coming into the year, and we haven't heard anything about what are they going to do with the other safety position. Part of the reason is Tayshaun Gibson has been playing very, very well. And I know when you're talking about things that, you know, may keep people up at night in training camp, safety spot was one of them, but with Gibson playing as well as he has, it's not nearly the concern it once was.
And you're 1,000% right. That was more, I heard that more on the inside regarding safety than I did cornerback. Cornerback, though, was the more popular topic,
sure,
I guess, among the rest of us, because personally, I worried more about corner than safety, but I understand why the people on the in the know who run the team say safety's our bigger issue that we've got to get resolved because it can break down so many other things, and we've seen that work out well. All right.
After further review,
the Atlanta Falcons are the most disappointing team thus far in the NFL. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm going to call it a tie between the Atlanta Falcons and the Houston Texans, because the Houston Texans were a team that many thought would be Super Bowl bound. They have absolutely struggled, lost a heartbreaker last week to the Indianapolis Colts, and they're nowhere near a playoff team. Neither are the Falcons. Those are by far, to me, the two most disappointing teams, because I think they were expected to go to the playoffs by just about everybody.
I'm going to say, fact, I do want to throw the New York Giants into the conversation as well.
They're not out of it, though.
And they're
That's the crazy thing.
Their division, they're not out of it, but they just a dreadful start. But to go back to the Falcons, the reason why I think it's so disappointing for them and has to be for them is when you think about Tony Gonzalez and why he came back to play this year. He came back to play this year because he thought he was on a contender, and he should have believed he was on a contender. They obviously left some holes open on that football team, some of that caused by the fact, maybe a lot of it caused by the fact that they had to make the Matty Ice, Matt Ryan investment at quarterback. The math there, again, doesn't work out for a lot of teams because you invest heavily in that one position and you can't fix other areas. But you had Julius Jones, you had Roddy White. You're supposed to be better in your backfield with Steven Jackson. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons why this Falcons team is a huge disappointment at 2-6. So I am going with fact.
After further review,
well, based on what we saw last night, Brandon Whedon is a better option as a backup quarterback than Seneca Wallace. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm going to go, I guess I got to go fact, because that was pretty bad for the Packers. I can't believe anyone, I'm watching all those folks in the cold and the raining Lambeau Field last night, and I'm thinking, what are they thinking when they look out there? They don't see Aaron Rodgers. First of all, anybody but Aaron Rodgers, you're pretty well, as I said, screwed. I mean, you got to believe you're, so is there any alternative that's better for this team? And you heard some suggestions today in other media that, well, they got to give Matt Flynn a call. But if it's based on, as the Matt Flynn connection was, knowing an offense, I think Whedon knows this offense. Does he execute it in ways that can give this team a chance? We've obviously, the evidence shows us no, and that if this team has to go back to him, it'll be a lot of holding your breath or just a lot of flat-out disappointment, depression. But you know what? We've been down that road a couple of times with this football team, thinking things were over and not so fast, but I don't know how many lives you get. This is a dog, not a cat we're talking about here.
Yeah, absolutely.
in a symbolic way.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Brandon Whedon. But, yeah, the Browns fans, they've summed it up. They don't want to see Brandon Whedon on the field. Neither one of those guys right now seem to be a popular quarterback choice in their own cities. Well, we put it at that.
Let's leave it at that.
After further review.
But building off of that point that Vic made, Matt Flynn will be a Green Bay Packer within the next 24 hours. Is that
fact or fiction?
Well, we're monitoring the situation. We got a little, we can't tell you how we know, but we got a little inside information. So far, we're not really sure where that's going to go. But it's possible. I would say they've got to do something. So, just for the sake of saying that they got to have somebody other than Seneca Wallace on the team, I'll go with fact because I don't know who else fits their situation any better than him right now, and it's a loose fit at best. considering Matt's bounce around in places that need quarterback. Buffalo needs help at quarterback. They couldn't find a way to make use of Matt Flynn, and he's out of work right now.
Jeff Toole started over Matt Flynn.
So that says something.
And there are concerns about his arm strength. I've seen some reports come out saying there are legitimate concerns. There's something wrong with his arm.
Right.
So I don't think Matt Flynn – I think Matt Flynn is done. I think Matt Flynn –
done in the NFL?
I think so. Wow. And I think he should say, I made more money off of one game than just about anybody in NFL history, and I did pretty good when it's all said and done.
I did all of that, and I can't throw a football. And I feel bad. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of the – well, I guess I did. But I'm trying not to make light of the fact that if it's a physical problem that the guy has from injury, that's a sad way to have it end for him. But financially, good for him and his family.
All right.
After further review.
All right, number five, our next last one here. Richie Incognito will never play another down in the NFL again. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm leaning toward fact on that. I think Richie's presence in that locker room, had there not been a Jonathan Martin incident, you would not have probably heard of anything else that would have surfaced. There's a lot of people who've run to the conclusion that that was the case. I think the circumstance was kind of ripe for that to happen. He picked on the guy who was generally perceived as a little softer than a large man in a large man's game is. And then the response was, so there was sort of like some code breaking, if that's the right way to put it. And I don't want to create a sense here that I'm approving of anything that resembled what we've heard Incognito doing. But there are instances of, you know, hazing and things that have gone on. I've seen and know of a lot worse through this league in the many years that I've been around it, by the way. But this happened to be a circumstance that got very public. And the Dolphins, I don't know that they have a larger problem than the guy who is, you know, is Richie like a team bully? No. In fact, other players on the team are very supportive of Richie Incognito. Mike Wallace, for instance, the receiver for the Dolphins, says, I like Richie, want him back. The what I'm hearing is the majority of players on the Dolphins would rather have Richie Incognito back on the team than Jonathan Martin. And that's kind of telling about their position on this. Nonetheless, I think Incognito's probably now, or this information getting out, has probably made it impossible for him. Who is going to take a chance on that guy and have anything come in and then a possible incident for it and be able to survive that? What GM is going to be able to sell to his team owner, hey, we brought this guy in, we know it's a risk, but we'll take that risk. Then it blows up. Have that conversation.
I'm going to take it one step farther. I'm going to say neither Richie Incognito nor Jonathan Martin play again in the NFL. I don't think that either one of these guys are going to get the opportunity, right or wrong. I think Martin's going to be perceived as a whistleblower on something that's turned out to be very ugly for the National Football League and will maybe not be welcomed by many of his future peers. Richie Incognito, I think he's just a liability now. I think that he's opened up something that I think has been going on in the National Football League, and I know from talking to a lot of players has, maybe not to that degree, but it's always been a little bit a part of the culture, and now it's another thing that's been opened up that the NFL's got to deal with that doesn't look good.
I'll share this with you, and I have to I'll give it to you as best as I can, but without revealing it too much. But a friend of mine who's an agent, spoke with him yesterday, and what I heard was that you talk about, you know, let's use a better, as much of a term as we can use, shakedown is the word, right? Making guys pay for dinners and the $35,000 meals and such, or $15,000, which just boggled the mind. And we know most of that is the liquid form of the dinner. But
sure.
That said, I know of a situation where something in that same vein of having to get a rookie to spend money for the entire group, it was to the effect of, we want the entire group to have iPads. And a particular player contacted his representation and said, I got to do this because I'm being made to do this. This is like part of the hazing thing. So can you take care? Can you get them ordered? I mean, obviously the player was going to pay for them, but the agent was, or representation part of the agency, was going to facilitate getting these iPads purchased for the entire group of players at this particular position group. And a player instigated this, a veteran, with the rest of the players. I'm not, no names, But I feel good about that information, and that's telling, too. Just another
surprise me.
Another example of what we're talking about.
The good old days, Dan Marino would just give isotoner gloves to his linemen, and everybody was happy.
I mean, you got me a cookie cake on my birthday.
And that's right.
I didn't shake you down for that. You just did it out of the goodness of your heart.
That's right.
So do I get a cookie cake this week? My birthday's Friday.
You should.
You should.
But you guys are already gone.
Yeah, so we're going to put that on the people inside your building.
Okay.
We would, if we were there and you were, if we were in the same place at the same time, you'd be covered. You know we're thinking about you, though, and we'll give you happy birthday wishes on Friday.
There you go. All right, one more, guys. All right.
After further review.
All right, as we really make our way into the bye week now, the Browns' offensive most valuable player is Jordan Cameron, and the defensive most valuable player is T.J. Ward. Is that
fact or fiction?
I was going to give the offensive player award to Jason Campbell. I'm going to say, though, on stats and production, hard to go against those two guys for the whole body of work of the first half of the season. I think T.J. Ward's had an amazing first half of the season. We know Jordan Cameron has getting a little concerned that he's been a little absent in this offense for the last couple of weeks. So the onus is on the coaches to spend this bye week finding ways to get him back and involved, and when he's targeted, whatever it was five times in this last game, that doesn't just result in one catch. So that's on Jordan Cameron, but it's also on this coaching staff. But on body of work for nine games, I can't argue with both of those guys.
I'm going to go T.J. Ward on the defensive side with an asterisk to the entire front seven as a little bit of a cop-out answer, but those two, I would single out Joe Hayden as well, has had a phenomenal season. Yeah. On offense, I'm going to go with Josh Gordon. I think this offense fundamentally changed with Josh Gordon back, and with Josh Gordon, the Browns are 4-3 with Josh Gordon on the field. They have a winning record, so I'm going to give him the offensive MVP, and my offseason offensive MVP is going to be Trent Richardson for bringing us a first-round pick.
All right, guys, that is this week's edition of
After Further Review.
Dino, I got to jump in here real quick. Got a tweet just now from @IamDaveDouglas, and he says, Dino should call you guys out on past statements for you to, quote, further review. And maybe with the bye week coming up, maybe that's something for next week's After Further Review we could do. We kind of take a look back at some of the things we've said over the first half of the season and see how
It's going to be brilliant stuff, so I don't know what the issue would be. There's no calling us out.
It doesn't have to be for a call out. It could be, you know, you said this and here it is, or you did this, and what do you think now? No, what do you think now at this point? Has your opinion changed on something that we could have been wrong about?
I do like the programming help that we get on this show.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know what? Feedback is good. I'll take feedback.
There you go, Dave Douglas.
I love it.
There you go, Dave Douglas. I'm going to look into that just for you, buddy.
All right, sounds great. And again, appreciate the help on this from our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. We've got much more coming up. How about a conversation with Gerard Cherry? We'll get his further reviewing on things as well. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Up under the seat of my big black.